So let's review. The Gemara considers numerous inquiries. One can only bring bikurim from fruits that became permitted by the shtei alechem. Therefore, the Gemara inquires, shtei alechem hanotza sharya or chanotza sharya? Does the shtei alechem permit fruit from the earlier stage of hanotza, when the blossoms emerge, or the later stage of chanotza, when the buds emerge? The Gemara points out, hashrosha sharya, hanotza deperi v'chanotza deperi mebaya? If grain becomes permitted by the Yemir Shtei HaLechem if it took root, even though it did not emerge from the ground at all, certainly any fruit, even in the earliest stages, becomes permitted. Rather, we are inquiring whether Hanatza Da'olav Hanatza Da'olav Mihavika Ashrasha Oiloi. Are these stages of the leaf's growth the equivalent of grain taking root or not? Take with this matter remains unresolved. Similar inquiry. A Mishnah rules in Mishrisha Koim Lo Eimer, Eimer Matiran, Vim Lav Asurin Achayavi Eimer Haba. If grain took root before the Eimer, they become permitted, but if they did not take root before the Eimer, they remain forbidden until next year's Eimer. However, the Gemara inquires regarding Chitin Shazaron Bekarka. If one planted grain, but they did not yet take root, their status is unclear, and this is relevant to three areas of halacha. Eimer, Chatzdinu Vizarinu Lachitin, Koidim Lo Eimer, Vasa Eimer Vachalaf Alayu, Maulin Kute Omechel Minayu. If one harvested grain before the Eimer and then replanted them, and they did not take root before the Eimer, and he took them out of the ground after the Eimer, may he eat them? The question is, when this grain was in the ground, command the Shadya Bekad Damya Vaim Matiran, Oidim Abatulu Lagabe Ara Ve'inem Matiran. Is it considered as if they were in a container and the Eimer permits them, or are they considered part of the ground and the Eimer does not permit them? A second halacha, Oino. If someone sells a field and claims that he planted it with the appropriate amount of seeds, and witnesses testify that he did not plant enough seeds, and the seeds did not yet take root, are they considered like metatlin, movable property, and they're subject to the laws of Aina, overcharging? Or are they considered part of the ground, and karka is not subject to the laws of Aina? A third halacha, shvua. Nishboin alein oy ein nishboin alein. If there is a dispute regarding such seeds that require an oath, are they considered metaltlin and one swears regarding these seeds, or are they considered part of the ground and one does not swear regarding karka? The Gemara replies, take with leaving the matter unresolved. Another inquiry. Chitin shebegloli bakar, v'sa'orin shebegloli behema. If undigested wheat or barley kernels were found whole in the dung of cattle or livestock, letimuye tumas eichlin, regarding the laws of tumma that apply to food and brisa rules, chishav alein lachila ein metame tumas eichlin. Lockdown la'achila, metame tumas eichlin. If one merely intended to use them as food, they do not acquire the status of food and are not subject to the tumah of foods. But if you pick them out with the intention to eat them, they acquire the status of food and are subject to the tumah of foods. Furthermore, l'manachis pshita deloy. It's obvious that they cannot be used for manachis because the pasuk says, "Hakirveyu no lavachasecha, hayirtzecha yisafanecha." It's certainly not respectful to offer such grain as a gift. However, nektinu v'zarinu, if one picked them out and planted them, the Gemara inquires, lasui menaches minayu, can the resulting crop be used for menaches? Perhaps, mishum di misusuhu, v'kimin d'zarinu az l'misusayu. Aydim mishum k'chishusuhu, v'hashtana mikechusha. Perhaps they're permitted because only the original seeds are disqualified because they're repulsive, but the resulting crop is not repulsive. Or perhaps they are disqualified because the grain becomes of lesser quality while passing through the animal, even though it emerged intact, and the resulting crop is also of inferior quality. Take with the Gemara leaves this matter unresolved as well. Another inquiry. Pil shabalik fifa mitzvus vekia derech beis haray. If an elephant swallowed a fiber basket and expelled it whole, lemevatl tumasa, regarding nullifying its tumas status, the Mishnah rules, kala kelim yerdl de tumasna bemachshava ve'in oylem tumasna ele b'shinu maisa. All utensils become subject to the laws of tumah with mere thought. For example, if someone decided to use some finished leather as a tabletop instead of forming it into shoes, it is immediately considered complete and is subject to the laws of tumah. But once it became tumah, it only loses its status if it was physically changed. However, bala hutzen vavdinu kefifa mitzvus, if the elephant swallowed fibers and expelled them intact, and then someone formed them into a fiber basket, the Gemara inquires, mihave ikul, havali kegliglam kekleadama, beimekablu tumah, beidemalayav ikul. Is it considered digested and therefore not subject to the laws of tumah? Because the Braisa rules that utensils made of stone, clay, or dung are not susceptible to tumah. Or are they not considered digested and therefore they are subject to the laws of tumah? The Gemara cites a related incident. Wolves once swallowed two infants and then excreted them whole. And the Chum ruled that the flesh did not transmit tumah because it is considered digested, but the bones do transmit tumah because they are not considered digested. And the Gemara explains the difference as follows. Shani basa de rochach, shani atzamas da kushi tvei. Flesh is exceedingly soft and therefore considered digested, while bones are exceedingly hard and therefore not considered digested. Therefore, neither of these cases is comparable to the question regarding fibers. Another inquiry. Chitin sheyardu ba'avim. If a ship full of wheat was sucked into the clouds of a storm, and the wheat then descended together with the rain. Lemenachis amayloi. Regarding menachis, there's no reason to disqualify the grain. However, l'shtei halechem, regarding using these kernels for l'shtei halechem, the Gemara inquires, mimeshvei seichem amrachmano, lafuke dechutzala or tzdelai, avda avim shabridami. The Torah requires that the shtei halechem be brought from meshvei seichem, your dwelling place. Perhaps this refers to Eretz Yisrael, excluding chutzlaretz, but wheat that descended from the clouds are valid. Or perhaps the term is specifically your dwelling and also excludes wheat that came from the clouds. The Gemara cites an incident to prove that such a scenario is indeed possible. Bar Adi Taya Nechitzale Roim Kiz V'chiti Betlos Parsi. In the field of Bar Adi, the Arab that once descended a layer of wheat that covered three parsa. Another inquiry. Shibayla Sheviya Shlish Kaidim Lo'imer V'akra V'shas L'acha O'imer V'sifa Mahu. What's halacha regarding a stalk of grain that reached one-third of its size before the Eimer, and was then uprooted before the Eimer and replanted after the Eimer, and it continued to grow a minimal amount? Does the extra part receive the status of the original stalk and it's permitted, or is it considered a separate entity and remains forbidden until the following Eimer? Now, Rabbi Yechanan ruled in a similar case, Yolda shesvacha bezikeinu uva peiris, afilo hesed b'masayim aser. If one grafted a young arla tree which bore fruit into an older permitted tree, it is forbidden as arla, even if the fruit grew to more than 200 times its original size. Similarly, Rabbi Yenison ruled, "Betzal shashas lebekarim v'nekarakarim, afalahisa b'masayim aser." If an onion was planted in a vineyard and the vines were uprooted, it remains forbidden as klaim, even if it grew to more than 200 times its original size. However, the Gemara inquires, "Mifshid pshitilu l'rabbanon, debas ikras linon, loishna l'kula v'loishna l'chumra?" Is it certain that we follow the status of the original growth, both for astringency or leniency, or sifuka misafkalu, luchumra minin, lukula loyam minin? The Rabbanu are uncertain, and so we only follow the original growth regarding astringency such as the cases of Arul and Klayim, but not for a leniency such as in the cases of the Eimer. The Gemara replies, take or leaving their matter unresolved.